FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. Just got back from L.A. If it sounds like I have a cold, it's because I do. I'm fighting one off. Can't let it get you down. As my mother always used to say, you could feel just as sick being at work as you are being at home. So, and just so happens, I work out of my home. So no excuses not to keep the show going. And as always, just participate, join the show, email us, kl@carrielutz.com. Person you're about to hear from hasn't been on in a while, but good friend of the show, good friend of mine. His name is Jerry Robinson. The site is followthemoney.com. Jerry, welcome back.
Great to be here. Thank you so much, Carrie. Always look forward to it.
Hey, so been too long. We just kind of lost touch with you, but we're back now. And always was very impressed by your insightful perspective commentary on the economic world. Where are we now, in your opinion? Is America becoming great again?
Well, it all depends. If using a credit card to grow the economy makes us great, then yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, when we take a look at what's happened over the last, 10 years since the last major collapse, 2008, we have seen both President Obama and now President Trump taking the same tack, and that is using a credit card to finance a debt problem. And so that's exactly what we have now. We are well into this quote unquote economic recovery. And so far there has been great returns in the stock market. If you've been in the stock market, you've been making money, right? That's because that's exactly how these economic quote unquote recoveries work, in the 21st century in the Fed, in this Fed world where central banks pump money in to the financial sector. And then of course, anybody invested in that area is going to be doing well. Those who are outside of the stock market are, they're making money in real estate. There's no doubt about it. Real estate has been rising. It hasn't risen as fast as perhaps as the equity markets have. It hasn't caught as many people's attention either. We think there's still a lot of upside speculative moves to be made in real estate. As far as the stock market goes, it's difficult to say. We just topped out with the S&P 500 back in February. Actually, it was the top was actually at the very end of January 2018. By the way, we're recording this on the 23rd of April of 2018. And so when I reference January, I'm talking about 2018. And we topped out at about 2875 on the S&P 500. And we pulled back to the 200-day moving average right after that sharp sell-off back in February.
Right.
And we held that 200-day moving average, which is a huge, huge key pivotal area for technical traders. We bounced off of it, came back up, and then came right back down to it again at the very beginning of April. And now we're just kind of hovering above it. So from a technical standpoint, we do not have a confirmed downtrend intact. And that's really what we do here at followthemoney.com is we focus on trends. So, everybody's got an opinion, Carrie. Everybody's got something to say and everybody thinks they know what's going to happen. And that's great. I mean, some people might get it right. You throw a dart and you might hit it occasionally. But the thing is that the way we have learned of trading 20 years in these equity markets is that you have to follow the market itself. You really can't outsmart the market. And so when the market is trading above its 200-day moving average, that's bullishly postured. That means that the market still wants to rise. So until we even slice through that, let alone have some sort of major sell-off that's, wealth threatening of any kind to the majority of people, we got to violate the 200-day moving average. And we haven't done that. So we're still above it. And so it's difficult to say. This is very, when you look at the chart of the S&P 500 in April of 2018, what you see is you see a fearsome chart, one that looks dangerous when you look at it, because this is typically how bubbles burst. They tend to end with this kind of blow off rally, just like we saw in January. Everybody couldn't believe what was happening in January in the stock market. The stocks were just going up every single day of the week. And, it was like, holy cow, where is this thing moving? And then it popped, it kind of pulled back. And so it's difficult when we look at this chart. It's a little ominous. As I stated, the price is trading above the 200-day moving average. But we have a lot of overhead resistance to clear. And until we get, I would say, back above around 2,800 on the S&P 500, it's just a very a difficult time for people to be going really long the market. It's really kind of a day trader's market right now, because it's one up one day, down the next, up one day, down the next. So a lot of indecision, a lot of geopolitical noise, but we're following the trend. And right now, the uptrend is still intact. The long-term uptrend, the position uptrend on the weekly charts, everything looks bullishly postured. Let's see if the S&P 500 can hold above its 200-day moving average before we start throwing in the towel on the stock market.
Hey, kind of like the market in January looked similar to what Bitcoin looked like in December, didn't it?
Yeah. Oh, man. January or December in crypto. I mean, who will forget that? If you were in cryptocurrencies and you were checking your balance on a daily basis, I mean, December 2017 was mind-blowing for returns.
Yeah.
Kind of like that in stocks in January.
Mm-hmm. So did you see the crash coming in the cryptos?
Oh, you know, I see a tremendous amount of boom bust cycles, both for stocks and for cryptos, for different reasons. For stocks, because they're of course highly manipulated through the Fed, and you're constantly having all kinds of geopolitical headwinds that can trash stocks on the turn of a dime. With cryptos, we see a boom bust cycle, not for those same reasons, but predominantly due to the regulatory fears and human greed and all of this, much more so. They're pretty much finite, as you well know. I mean, as far as the cryptocurrencies, some of them are designed that way. So you don't really have that threat. You have more of a threat of people fear, that they're no longer greedy. They start turning fearful and they sell. So, no, I mean, when we look at the cryptocurrency space, we certainly weren't buying at the top with cryptocurrencies, but we released a cryptocurrency portfolio at the very beginning of December. It was December 1st. And we called, about 10 different coins that we thought were great. They all just outperformed. About five of them now are underwater since that call on December 1st. So it's pretty interesting to see that, the cryptocurrencies we called at the beginning of December 2018, half of them are still above where they were, despite the sell-off, which is really interesting. We think the cryptos right now are warming up. If you don't own cryptocurrencies right now, I talk to a trusted financial advisor, of course, but when I look at them, I find myself attracted to buy more of my core positions, to add to my core positions. I love some of these smaller cryptos as well. We have a whole report we've created. People can go to followthemoney.com/crypto2018 and they can learn all about that report. But we really do. We like cryptocurrencies in the long run. They represent a threat, a real meaningful threat to the Fed. Not in the same exact way that gold does, but in a different way. And I think, Kerry, remember whenever you put on the Financial Liberties symposium several years ago that I was at, there was a whole lot of angst between the gold bugs and the crypto guys, right? The crypto enthusiasts. Mm-hmm. And you've probably been watching that just as I have. And it seems as if that they're kind of bridging the gap. Now they're starting to see more eye to eye, maybe. Mm-hmm. But crypto certainly provide a hedge against the Fed, whether we like it or not. They do provide a hedge against the Fed. Doesn't mean that regulatory concerns have all gone away. They certainly haven't. But I think this is a big battle. We'll see who wins in the end.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I knew it was going to crash in mid-December. Wrote an article about it, in fact, just saying, hey, it's going to go up in the long run. Take your profits now. But again, talk about manipulation and pump and dumps and everything else.
Oh, yeah.
You know that cryptos are, it's the Wild West of the financial markets.
Yeah, undoubtedly. You got to be very, very careful.
Yeah, especially now. You don't want to buy too high. But what's on your list of cryptos that you see a bright future for?
Oh, I mean, we like a lot of them. We alerted all of our members about Tron, which is a very interesting cryptocurrency that's developed in China. And we alerted our members to it on December 1st when it was trading for a fraction of a penny. I mean, it was trading for, again, I think we got in at 0.2 or what would you say? I guess a quarter of a penny, I guess, like 0.25 or 0.025 or whatever it is. Yeah. And anyway, since that time, it's really risen. In the peak back in December, that price went all the way up to like 25 or 30 cents. So it was mind-blowing returns, wow. Tens of thousands of percent. But then, of course, it's recently pulled back to about 5 cents. So that's one of our core holdings for sure. That one is still up wildly since we entered it, but we think there's a lot more upside ahead. Of course, we like Bitcoin. We think it's the primary place to be focused as a new crypto enthusiast. You got to have some of that. But we named 10 of them in our report. I'll give you one more, and that is Stellar Lumens. We've been involved with that one for a long time. XLM is the ticker on that one. It's had all kinds of big news, all kinds of collaboration going on, a lot more upside ahead. I mean, really where we're living at right now in the crypto space. And I've been investing in crypto since 2013. I don't consider myself a total expert on the field. I don't keep up with every single jot and tittle. I don't watch every single news story about every single coin by any stretch of the imagination. But the ones that I own, of course, I research and I focus on. And when we think about where we are now, we're kind of in the, as you mentioned, in the building stage. I mean, many companies right now don't have blockchains, but they know the benefit of blockchain. So what they're doing is they're in a process of saying, now, what do we do? Do we create our own blockchain and try to brand it and try to, or do we leverage one of the existing blockchains that have already been created and already have notoriety, already have users? And I think that's what we're seeing. So over the course of the next several years, this is a long-term play for cryptos. We expect to see many more announcements made by big Fortune 500 companies, either starting their own blockchain or adopting one of the existing blockchains and leveraging it for their own businesses. And that, of course, is going to boost these tiny little cryptos that may be beneficiaries of that. Stellar Lumens, I would think, would be one of those that's going to continue to benefit from that kind of news in the future.
Stellar Lumens, it's one I haven't heard of, but I have a list that I follow. I think, look, you got the Mt. Gox liquidation by the trustee in bankruptcy in Japan happening. And he sold off $400 million worth of Bitcoin from December through January. And that definitely had a role in tanking the markets. And then the other thing you saw, Jerry, is that the media turned on cryptos. All of a sudden, you start seeing front page business articles in the New York Times about how Bitcoin's manipulated, how there's no liquidity, all these things. And, you know, some of them, even though it's the New York Times, some of what they actually reported had some validity to it. So how are you going to, you know, like, people who might have been trading Forex a few years ago have become cryptocurrency day traders, you know, especially in Japan. How do you like make this market rational? When does it become rational is really the question. And how do you stop from being a victim of a pump and dump?
Well, I think you got to do your research. You got to view every single one of these coins as kind of like a research and development situation. And you got to figure out which one of them looks good to me. And look, as far as day trading cryptos, that's just not my thing. Predominantly due to the tax, they're taxable. It's a taxable event. I prefer to trade in tax advantaged vehicles. So for example, with stocks, with equities or ETFs, I use and I teach our members that it's important to use tax advantage vehicles. So do that in an IRA if you can. Do it in a Roth IRA even more right. if you can get into one if you qualify, because all of that is tax deferred. You don't have taxable events every time you buy and sell. I think that's what's happened to day traders in the crypto space is they're getting walloped with these tax bills. They didn't understand that there's a taxable event every single time you sell a crypto, even if it's just a trade. Even if you're just selling some Bitcoin to get some Litecoin or selling some Bitcoin to buy some, you know, Ethereum or whatever, mm-hmm. that's a taxable event unless it's inside of a tax deferred or tax advantage plan. So I think that's big. You pointed out how the media has been trashing crypto. That's part of the war that we see. I mean, cryptocurrencies in many ways represent power to the people. They really do. They represent power to the people in the fact that this is a money that cannot be printed. This is a money that is static, that is fixed. And this is not something that 21st century man, at modern economic man, is used to. We're used to currencies that can be printed at will. We're used to currencies that are worth zero intrinsically. You know, we're used to those kinds of currencies. So there's a slow change in the mindset of modern economic man as they say this. They see this new invention, this new form of money, this medium of exchange that is cryptocurrency. And I think the media is rightfully scared of it. I think the financial institutions are rightfully scared of it. I think Washington is rightly scared of it. I don't think that people like you and me should be scared of it, but I think we should be conservative because it's so unknown and it's so early. So, for example, with me personally, I put in 5% of my total investable assets into cryptos. That's it. Been doing that since 2013.
That's all you need.
So.
You don't need any more than that. You'd be crazy to do any more than that.
No, and exactly. And so if everything goes to zero, Kerry, over the next, 5 years or whatever, if all the cryptos go to zero, well, guess what? I mean, 5% of my total investable assets, which, it's a lot to me, but still it's not the end of the world. I would lose all of that and I would still have 95%. I got other parts of my investable assets in real estate. I love affordable housing. I love that. I like ETF trading. I like to invest in certain themes. Cannabis stocks, for example, I love.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see that explode over the next 5 to 10 years. And sure. I think people who are properly positioned are going to do well. So there's all different kinds of areas that you can put your money. Cryptos, for me, that's only 5%.
Hey, I was just in L.A., got this nasty cold, among other things. But I went to a couple of cannabis stores just to check out the scene, not to make purchases.
Just to check it out, right?
Just to see what was happening.
Yeah,
and exactly. The place, like I asked questions, these people working in the store were total, some of them knew what they were talking about, usually the females. The guys were total morons. I said, yeah, I think you've sampled too much of your product to be useful anymore. What the hell's going on here? But what was amazing to me was the commercialization, the branding that's taking place, difficult to brand, the technology of concentrates. That's where you get rid of the leaf, basically, and you kind of distill the plant to its essence, essential oils, and it's psychoactive. It was just remarkable. And this is a crappy store in Beverly Hills, or right next to Beverly Hills, but they just really did not have their act together, and yet they're still crushing it. I mean, I was watching thousands of dollars per 10 minutes go through this store, thousands, and they even took debit cards, which surprised me. They wouldn't take credit cards because they're blocked by the Fed right now, but yeah, that sector is going to explode because it's just California. You know, this isn't even Florida or Texas or whatever. The whole country is in favor of legalization. You know, the vast majority.
A growing majority of them are saying, hey, you know, why should we throw people in jail for smoking a doobie? I mean, it's insane. Yeah. I mean, it really is insane. But to 1970s or 1960s folks, who were living in that generation, it seemed right at the time to have prohibition, you know, and it's been that way for so long. It's been racist for so long. We all know the racist tones of this these marijuana laws, but because they obviously target minorities much more than they do, just average Americans, average white Americans.
Yeah,
Trump but you know, was, when yeah. we take a look at like, for example, going forward. Think about it. I mean, I live in Northwest Arkansas, and Arkansas just passed medical marijuana in 2016. Mm-hmm. It is now April of 2018, and the authorities are still bound up. They still haven't released it yet. They're still trying to get there, and it's just been a big, big hassle. A large part of it is because the moral majority types. Mm-hmm. are coming out and saying this, you know, this shouldn't be, I mean, it's more, the moral majority doesn't like democracy unless it serves them. And so in this case, democracy led to this outcome, and suddenly we don't like democracy. Democracy's bad in this case. But you know what's so interesting, Kerry? Is you know what the moral majority won't care about? Is if I go down to the liquor store tonight and I pick up 10 fifths of Jack Daniels and drink myself to death, ain't nobody care.
Yeah.
Kerry. Nobody right. cares. There's no moral majority standing outside the liquor store with a picket sign, even though I could die. I could go in tonight, right. buy those things and kill myself with liquor, right? I can go in and I can buy cigarettes that will literally destroy my lungs and kill me. But moral majority, complete silence.
Yeah.
They don't care. They don't care. They don't care if I die, sure. but they don't want me to smoke this plant that could have therapeutic benefits. You've got to be kidding me. So I think people are seeing the hypocrisy that's involved in these laws. And I think if you're well positioned ahead of time, really, there will be fortunes, literal fortunes made. We just put out a new report on this too. Followthemoney.com/MMJ for those who want to profit from the green gold rush. We've got a 15-page report here that has the top 7 cannabis stocks for 2018. Plus, we threw in 5 penny marijuana stocks that could explode higher at any moment. But we just saw the former Speaker of the House, John Boehner, turn towards marijuana. It says suddenly now he likes it. He thinks it should be decriminalized.
He's lobbying for a bunch of clients, obviously.
He is. We also saw Senator Chuck Schumer change his tune, and now he's pushing through a bill for decriminalization. So it's a slow and steady road, but I think we're on the downward slope. And so now we're telling our members, now is the time to begin gaining exposure to the best quality cannabis companies that you can find, and just be exposed to them and be ready
right.
over the next 10 years to see a really big windfall.
For sure. Well, I predicted 10 years ago, before I started doing the show, once the crash occurred, I predicted that the prohibition against the pot would be done away with, for the simple reason that just history repeating itself. If you go back to the Great Depression, FDR ran on a platform of happy days are here again. And he wasn't just talking about the economy, the ability to buy alcohol, buy liquor in stores. Ending prohibition was one of the major planks of his platform. And I just saw the states being strapped for cash. It saves them money on criminal justice, and it makes them money on taxes. So it just makes a lot of sense. We're going to see more of it. And totally what you're saying about the governments being so screwed up, the legalization, all that for medical use. We had the same thing in Florida. It's totally ridiculous. Anyway, Jerry, we got to get going now. Just tell us the best place to find you.
Absolutely. Followthemoney.com. You can go there. We have free podcasts. We have stock trading podcasts. We have the Follow the Money radio podcast. We have precious metals podcast, the whole nine yards. And then we have memberships for people who say, look, I want to, you know, I want profitable, actionable ideas emailed to me, or I want to know about what you guys are doing. We provide that as well. So just go to followthemoney.com. You'll find tons of free resources and also memberships if you want to become part of our community.
All right, Jerry, it's great catching up with you. Good luck on the new site, and we will talk to you again real soon. Thanks so much.
I appreciate it, Kerry. Thank you.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.